Hello and good morning. You're listening to CITR 101.9, broadcasting from the traditional territory of the Hukumin-speaking Musqueam people. My name is Lucy, and you're listening to the Student Special Hour this sort of sunny morning. All right, so today we've got a very special treat, or at least in my opinion, a very special treat. We have the outgoing VP admin and incoming AMS president. For anyone who doesn't know what the AMS is, the Alma Mater Society is one of the main governing bodies here at UBC. And we have Ava Nasir here to chat with us. How are you doing this morning?
I'm very excited to be here.
Very excited.
Thank you for having me.
Oh, well, thank you so much for coming in. It's been a long road for us in this radio show. We've been trying to do this for a couple weeks now, and it's finally happening, so it's very exciting stuff. All right, so before we keep going on, we're going to be listening to some tunes today, a few that I've chosen, a few that Ava's going to choose, and then talking a little bit about what's going on the UBC campus later on in the show, and Ava's going to be sharing a little bit with us about herself. About her lovely self, and as well about going into this new exciting position as AMS president. So before we get going, I'm going to take a little break here and play Fingerprint by Bombay.
Change all of my cards.
Okay, and that was Bombay with Fingerprint here on CITR 101.9. You're listening to the Student Special Hour, and we've got Ava Nasirian here talking to us about, well, just about her, basically. I mean, and all the wonderful world that is Ava. But instead of me talking, I should let her introduce herself. So, Ava, do you want to introduce yourself? Tell us a little bit about your journey, as it were, your adventures to get to AMS president, and then three fun facts few people would know.
Ooh, all right. So I was born in Iran. I moved to Canada with my family when I was about 5. And both in my elementary and high schools, there were sort of like extracurricular leadership programs and teams and things. So that's kind of where it all began. And actually, in my first year at UBC, I had no idea how to get involved. I would just like go to things and be like, you should run CoCheck this way because it'll make it easier for you. And then eventually I started working with the Arts Undergraduate Society and was the assistant VP student life there. We planned some froshes and figured some things out and had some massive mess ups. And that's where kind of, you know, you learn and move
on. Totally.
And then I was VP admin for 2 years, working with the clubs. And then I ran for president. And here we are.
I mean, and it was all to get into this booth right now. I mean, it's all leading up to this radio show, obviously, right?
Literally, if in my first year I was told that I would get to do this show with you and I had to, like, pick my hairs out of my scalp one by one, and, like, that was, like, the process of, like, sitting here with you today, then I would have been like, All right,
let's do it. Well, that's...
It might take me a while, and that was a little graphic, but...
That's an interesting example, but I love it. I like your style. All right, so three fun facts few people would know about you.
Three fun facts. I have crashed 4 cars.
Oh, dear.
I'm not proud of that one. I used to teach piano when I was 16 till I was about 19. And I can wiggle my ears.
Oh,
that's a boring one.
No, it's so good. I think that's like the best because like that those skills are so funny because you just can and you can't do it. So it's like trying to do it. Like I remember as a kid and you'd like see someone do it and you're like, I can do that too. And you'd like stretch your face as much as possible. Like nothing's happening. That's a good one. All right. So what has been, just kind of kicking back to VP admin, what do you think has been your biggest accomplishment and then also your biggest challenge as VP admin?
Mm. I'd say biggest accomplishment was like the day we found out we got occupancy for this building, which was, I can tell you the exact date because I drew a champagne bottle and put a date under it. That was, I think, June 18th.
Amazing.
Something like that. And so... No, May 19th.
May 19th.
May 19th of last year. Yes.
Amazing.
That was kind of like a long and winding road as a very complicated building. They kept running into some issues with construction because they would have to finish one thing before they could move on to the other. And if that one thing took longer, then everything after it would take longer as well. So I would definitely say that was quite the feat.
Yeah.
Very exciting times when it was finally done.
An accomplishment and a major challenge as well.
Hey? I would say so.
Yeah. And what was your role in kind of inputting the new Nest?
So with the Nest, I came in on February 5th, 2014. And that was kind of the dive in head first, figure it all out, and just keep the train moving kind of introduction. And so as the chair of the new subcommittee, my role was to chair the meetings where decisions were made, acting kind of as representatives of the client, being the student body. Anything between if they needed to level the concrete on the fourth floor, otherwise we'd have a slanted floor. And if that was like a $50,000 cost, then that was a decision that this committee had to make. And I, as the chair, was the one in charge of calling the meeting, setting the agendas, making sure minutes were shared, and kind of facilitating that discussion between representatives from the student body, AMS Council, some permanent members that had been with the project since its inception, which was really nice to have them, as well as some of our permanent staff team. Also in charge of planning the opening celebrations and doing some community engagement. So the name was a big one. There had been a ton of consultation. We were down to 2 names, and so me and the team at that point had to do some more consulting and see sort of between the hub and the Nest, what it was to be called, and so eventually landed on The Nest.
On The Nest, yep. It was a bit of an interesting thing when that came out, like when we heard, oh, it's The Nest, and everyone goes, oh, that's kind of weird, you know?
Yeah, like, it's just the new sub, okay?
It's the new sub or whatever, but now it's become The Nest, you know? And you notice how, like, it does naturally flow. Now that we've named it, everyone has a name for it, like, they'll use it, right? Which has been great. I think Hub would have been a bit confusing. Sub and Hub. Maybe that's just me. Maybe I'm just simple like that. All right, so how does it feel now to be moving on from that and finally, well, I don't know if President has been a long-term goal for you, but to sort of arrive at this sort of basically peak position, how does it feel to sort of finally be here?
It's been really exciting. This past week, we've had a lot of orientations, about four hours per day, of sort of introduction to the AMS, how things work, best practices, things like that, followed by some time in the afternoon to actually work on responding to emails and welcoming the teams and things like that. So hiring is done, which is really exciting. We had our first round of orientation for our new team, and our second round is next week with all of our counselors, all of our teams, all in one place. And so it's been exciting. I've fallen into somewhat of a routine of if there is something that is dull that people need to be informed of, I realize that iMovie has a trailer like template that you can use. So I picked like the adrenaline one, and it's like council committee appointments 2016, and it's this like adrenaline rush movie trailer explaining to counselors how appointments are going to work this year. Just to add a little sparkle.
Totally. That's great. And that's exactly what needs to happen, is that extra sparkle. Get people a little bit more engaged. And sorry, backpedaling on my question a little bit. So was President always sort of the end-all be-all, this is where you wanted to end up, or did you sort of stumble upon it?
Totally stumbled upon it. I had no idea what the AMS was. I had no idea what the VP admin role was. Basically, from my time with the Arts Center Graduate Society, I eventually was the vice president internal there. So that main role was planning council retreats, exec retreats, bonding sessions and team building things, the holiday party, and working directly with all of the arts clubs, so the arts departmental clubs. And so at the end of my second year, or mid third year, something like that, I had a final exam, and I had a friend in that final exam, and so we came out of that final, may have had some beers, and then I went to get a burger, and I came back, and there was this shot of double 151 and Tabasco sauce waiting for me at my seat. And I, like, hadn't slept much. I hadn't eaten my burger yet. But it was like, you must take this in celebration of your final exam.
Because you're a university student.
Because you're a university student, and that's life.
Do disgusting things like that.
Asterisk, this is not promoting drinking.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah.
So what
happened? Drink responsibly, drink of age, all that fun stuff.
So the moments that followed were two of my close friends and mentors sitting me down and highly, highly, highly recommending that I run for VP admin, I guess because they'd seen how excited I was working with clubs in the AUS. And so I ran, and then I ran for the second time because it was almost like a sense of responsibility. The building was halfway through, and like the first thing that the next person would have been doing was figuring out how the move is going to work, settling into the building, figuring out how to do and deal with an opening that was planned in multiple iterations, and so all the plans were there, but the implementation was sort of like, and all of these things were happening in the first 2 months on the job.
Yeah, would have been too much.
It would have been a bit much.
Yeah, yeah. And it's great because you kind of get that perk of not having to relearn, not having to helping out the kind of team effort in that way as well.
Kind of kept the momentum going. But yeah, so that's how I stumbled into
AMS. Aspect. Yes. Yeah. And then sort of from there, it was just like, well, I'm here already. Let's go for press. That's fantastic. And so I was just thinking, at least in my time here at UBC, it's been about 4 years, off and out, in and out or whatever. I actually haven't, in memory, haven't seen a female AMS president. I could be wrong on this. I don't want to put my foot down on this, but at least in my recollection, it's been Tanner and Aaron And
before tenor was Caroline Wong.
Oh, it was Caroline. Yes. That was my first year. Caroline. Now I remember. Yeah.
She did that fantastic speech on Imagine Day about the purple tent.
About the purple tent. Yeah, that's amazing. But how does it feel to be in a sort of, I guess at UBC it's not as bad of a gender gap, but there is, it is a kind of generally leadership positions are less occupied by women, just in statistically, generally, all over North America, all over the world, actually. Mm-hmm. And so how does it feel to sort of like be in this position where you get the opportunity to be in this leadership position, and not only as a person, but also kind of get to be in that position as a woman?
I think that I draw a lot of inspiration from other female leaders, both historically and those that I actually know in person. At first, it was a little bit difficult, especially my very first few weeks on the job as VP admin in my first year, chairing meetings where, you know, every other seat in the room is filled with males.
Yeah.
They don't really listen. They talk over you, and yet you're supposed to be keeping time and making sure this meeting's not running 2 hours over. So it was a little bit frustrating at first. I was kind of pissed off. I was like, you know, like, I'm just here. Like, I'm just trying to do my job.
Yeah.
Like, why can't you just let me do my job? Like, I understand you have things to say, but, like, it's being disrespectful to not. But then you figure it out and you grow from there. And, yeah, after that sort of initial bit of frustration, I figured out how to have my own presence, regardless of what the rest of the composition of the room is, mm-hmm. And sort of self-empower as opposed to feel uncomfortable and at a table full of people in suits.
And needing that validation from them instead of just getting it from yourself kind of thing.
Exactly.
Yeah. Well, we were speaking a little bit about some of your female inspirations, and we've got a song up here from a inspiring woman. Can you tell us a little bit about the tune that you picked by Nina Simone?
Yes. So it was about 4 a.m, and I decided instead of going to bed to watch a documentary on Netflix, and it was called What Happened, Miss Simone. And just from there, the things that I learned and the history of this song and its relation to the civil rights movements, just kind of struck a chord, and it made it seem like, oh, okay, there are big picture, bigger things always to keep in mind, and sort of don't let the little things bug you.
Absolutely. Yeah. So this is Nina Simone with Mississippi Goddam, and we will be coming back a little bit more to talk to Ava.
Got me so upset. Tennessee made me lose my rest. Everybody knows about Mississippi. God damn. Alabama's got me so upset. California's made me lose my rest. Everybody knows about Mississippi. God damn. Can't you see it? I know you can feel it. It's all in the air. I can't stand this pressure much longer. Somebody say a prayer. Alabama's got me so upset, and Tennessee's made me lose my rest. Everybody knows about Mississippi. God damn. Hound dogs on my trail, school children sitting in jail. Black cat crossed my path, I think every day's gonna be my last. Lord have mercy on this land of mine. We all gonna get it in due time. I don't belong here, I don't belong there. I've even stopped believing in prayer. Don't tell me, I'll tell you. Me and my people just about do. I've been there, so I know. They keep on saying, go slow. That's what they say, go slow. That's what they say, go slow. That's what's the trouble.
Slow.
Washing the windows.
Slow.
Picking the cotton.
Slow.
With nothing but rotten.
Slow.
We're too damn lazy.
Slow. I'm
thinking it's crazy. It's a communist plot, but all I want is equality for my sister, my brother, my people, and me. My people and me. You lied to me all these years. You told me to wash and clean my ears and talk real fine, just like a lady. If you'd stop calling me Sister Sadie. Countries full of lies. We all gonna die and die like flies. 'Cause I don't trust nobody anymore. They keep on saying, go slow. Yeah, that's what they say. Go slow. Well, that's just the trouble. Desegregation. Mass participation. Unification, do things gradually, will bring more tragedy. Why don't you see it? Why don't you feel it? I don't know, I don't know. You don't have to live next to me, just give me my equality. Everybody knows about Mississippi. Everybody knows about Alabama. Everybody knows about Mississippi.
And that was Nina Simone with Mississippi Goddamn, which was Ava's pick here this morning on the Student Special Hour on CITR 101.9. All right, so we're talking a little bit more about the AMS President Experience. I don't know why I said it like that, but, you know, always want to, like you said, always want to jazz things up. So what are you looking, I guess, what are you most looking forward to accomplishing this year? I mean, there's a lot of things to be done and a lot of scary and a lot of not so scary and whatever else. But what is, like, you're, like, super stoked on?
It's something I feel like I kind of helped move along with the AUS Council as well back in the day.
Back in my days.
It's creating a specific feeling at Council where it's positive, everyone feels included, and it's productive. I think that we've really come a long way from a few years ago where council meetings, AMS council meetings, would be about 6 hours long, and it would just be discussion in circles about, like, the most minute of details. And I really think that for me to be able to create that sense of community within AMS Council, as well as within all of the teams that we recently hired, will sort of create a positive ripple effect from the inside out, for us to be able to properly connect with students and be accessible and be kind of like that student society that is expected. It has to be a positive experience for every interaction, especially for those that are always around. So whether you're volunteering, whether you're working at an outlet, whether you're working at the office, whether you've been elected to sit on AMS Council, I think that that should always be a positive experience. And once you create the culture, that is something that's difficult to break down. And so that's sort of one of the main things that I hope to leave behind. And I think that what that will also do is ultimately leave the AMS as a sort of system in a better place to tackle various projects that will come down the years, down the line.
Absolutely. And how do you think you're going to first approach that kind of project? I mean, it's a beautiful, beautiful concept. And I think, so what would be like your first sort of tangible move on that?
So it starts with the iMovie template adrenaline movie trailers for council appointments. But also I'm really excited for next Wednesday when we kind of have everyone together in one space. And that's where we can spend some time establishing what the expectations are for the year from them, not in terms of like me standing there and saying like, these are your expectations, you
know.
But more kind of what is everyone hoping to get out of this experience and how can we work together to make that a thing? And also it's just like how you set things up. So, you know, if you have groups that you set up so that it's one person from each department, then immediately you have all of these separate connections happening. If you have like an online board somewhere that says like, who's going for lunch at noon? And everyone that's going for lunch at noon feels like they have somewhere to go for lunch and they get to meet other people that are doing similar but adjacent things. Kind of starts with those little details. And then a huge step is council retreat, where the sort of strategic planning and goal setting and things like that happen as setting the foundation. And then the real work comes in terms of like actually making the goals happen. That's somewhere to be really careful with, because I think it's easy to talk about doing things and like have all these great theoretical ideas, but then not be able to actionable result them.
Yeah, yeah. Move forward and actually put it into place.
Yes.
Hey?
Yeah.
Absolutely. And so what do you think is like the transition has been like from kind of doing the VP admin side to now doing sort of more of the, because you're right in that transition period, or have you finished now on VP admin?
Finish now.
All right.
So as of Monday was our first day sort of in the office as the new team.
Officially. And what's that transition been like for you?
It's been really exciting. So Chris, who's coming in as VP admin, is so competent, so sharp and good at what he does that I have no room for doubt. You know, I'm just so excited for him. I think he's going to do a fantastic job. And it just makes me feel so comfortable leaving all of the projects that I worked on and that portfolio in his hands, in his capable hands, because I have absolutely no doubt that it's just going to get better from there. And so that's been really positive. And I obviously get to stick around and sort of answer any questions in that arena. Mm-hmm. And then coming in, you know, Aaron has made himself so accessible, just sent me the most beautiful transition report, super detailed. Yeah, it's been really positive.
Amazing. It does sound like it. And because you have the team around you still and everyone's communicating and discussing things, it sounds like it's going to be a good year. And I was going to say, too, I feel like, what do they call it? Like networking is like, you know, 2/3 of your university degree or whatever it is. You know what I mean? That sort of term. That's not an actual phrase. I kind of made that up. But you get what I mean, that idea, right? Like, you learn in the end. You learn how to learn, and you learn how to meet people. It's one of the biggest things that a university degree gives you, right? And how would you – you got something else to add?
I don't know. I just feel like when you say the word networking, it's I just, like, feel
– cringe.
Feel
dirty.
I feel like – critters and
I don't mean like the suave, you know, throw the
here's my business card,
you know, but I mean like talking to people, getting to know people, like, and I mean genuine networking,
making friends,
right? And I think I was just going back to what you were talking about, engaging with the student body, and I thought it was really interesting because the more you engage your groups there, the more people get to naturally, I mean, for lack of a better word, network. And through that, people are excited about projects that they want to start on their own. Mm-hmm. And I think that's what sounds so exciting about this sort of, or at least what I connected with your platform, which was all about like sort of student engagement and discussing, because I feel like we don't realize that we're our best our own best allies. You know, like we're the ones that are going to be going into the field later, all going into, going to be working together in some capacity, and later we'll be, you know, need each other to help each other out. So where did this sort of kind of idea come from? Why was that sort of one of your most important values to engage with students and to be the everything coming from the students?
You can't really tell people how to feel, how to be, or what to think or what to do and expect them to fully embrace it, because that's not something of theirs. That's something of yours that you are then imposing. And so that's where it comes in for everyone to come together and collectively decide on a direction, because then they feel like they are part of it and that they get to have a say. You're not putting them in a corner and disempowering them and telling them that, you know, essentially when you tell a group of people what to do or set a direction for them, you're telling them that they and the ideas that they have are not valuable or not valid. And I just think that that would be the biggest mistake ever, because that's not how you get people excited. I can't tell you, hey, Lucy, I think your ideas are not valid, and then have you think that, you know, you can trust me or that you're excited about working on a project together. So that's kind of, I think where it comes in. We can totally end up in like an AMS bubble, disconnected from the student body and what their needs are, and just like start thinking of like, oh, like students want this, students want that, without actually listening. And maybe something as simple as adding 10 more microwaves in the nest will make the biggest difference for so many people. And we're missing out on that because we're not taking the time to engage and consult. And so students that want more microwaves don't really know where to go to be like, hook it up with the microwaves.
Like, and it's an accessibility issue as well, right? Mm-hmm. Too. So that's really, really incredible. And so when, obviously, you know, there is an engagement that needs to happen. But right currently, what would you identify as the biggest issue facing students right now?
Biggest issue facing like students as in the student body?
Yeah, as a whole, sort of. What do you think is the most like rah-rah, this is important to us thing that's going on? And I mean, obviously, you're not speaking for them, but like, what would you identify currently?
From speaking with and having had conversations with alumni from 5 years ago, 10 years ago, and I was lucky enough to chat with some folks from like 50 years ago. One thing I've noticed is that there's been more of a recent trend towards almost like a LinkedIn generation, if that makes sense. Like 10 years ago, people on campus were super chill. They went to class, they, you know, set themselves up for their career, but that wasn't all-encompassing and that wasn't consuming their being. Yeah. It wasn't as stressful and it wasn't as job anxiety-ish. Whereas now I'm noticing more and more, like my little brother's in high school, and even just from like seeing how him and his friends hang out, and they like are taking all these AP courses and like super obsessed with getting into like Harvard and Stanford.
Whoa.
And like, that's wonderful, that's amazing, it's positive. But even on campus, you know, it's more of a career oriented than a social oriented trend that I'm noticing. And I think that it's important to continue to create spaces where students feel that they can be comfortable and relaxed and just hang out with their friends and have a jolly old time, because that is one of the things that can keep you inspired to do even better in your academics and in your career.
Yeah, absolutely. And too, I think that UBC gets this kind of impression of being this big institution and sort of kind of a little cold. And if we can sort of turn that around, not only will we be newly ranked 37th in the world and second in Canada, very proud. But we'll also be, you know, a little bit more the no Vancouver, right? That's a big common thing. And so maybe we can turn that around a little bit. It's exciting that that's valuable to you. All right. So we're going to play another one of the tunes that you've brought here. Do you know which one you'd prefer to play
first?
Yeah. They're very different. So
let's go with this one.
All right, let's go with that one. So we're going to be playing, now I don't really, Marta
Argerich.
And what made you, what kind of inspired you to pick this tune?
This one I came across on YouTube and I was just mesmerized. It was brought me close to tears. It's pretty epic as a song. I've listened to a lot of Chopin. My piano teacher growing up was that, like, this was his favorite composer, and so most of the fun songs that we learned were
fun
of the series. Also, I just like have so much respect for the way that she plays the song, because it's so complicated and, oh, and there's so much to it.
Beautiful. All right, looking forward to it. So this is Chopin Prelude by Marta Argerich.
Not only does it make you special, but it gives you all kinds of deals with our friends on Main Street, including 10% off at Antisocial Skateboard Shop, Devil May Wear, Red Cat Records, Woo Vintage Clothing, and more. Visit CITR.ca for more, or come check us out in the Nest.
Do you like sports? Are you looking for a way to give back to your community? Right to Play is an international organization that empowers kids through sports.
Here at UBC, our volunteers work to provide equal opportunity for sport to children in the Vancouver area.
We raise money to support Right to Play's global initiatives because we believe that
when children play, the world wins.
Check us out on our Facebook page and get involved today so that kids can be kids.
Join us every Saturday from 8 till noon for Saturday's Edge with your host, Steve Edge, as he guides you on a journey to world and roots music, with African, Latin, and European music in the first half, followed by Celtic, blues, songwriters, and Cajun in the second half.
All right, welcome back. You're listening to CITR 101.9, the Student Special Hour here. So we are just finishing off the last few minutes here of the Student Special Hour this Friday morning with Ava Nasiri, and we're talking about her reign that is just beginning as AMS president. So I have kind of a couple more silly questions for you, because, you know, you can't just do all serious all the time, as we've learned today. My first question here at CITR, we love Would You Rather. Like, it's one of our favorite little games. So one that I thought of. Would you rather be a queen for a year or be a part, like, be a cog in the machine, be a part of government for life?
Oh. is there neither option?
Yeah. I guess, like, government for life is a little daunting, because then you're like, do you get to retire?
Yeah. Or, like, it might just be, like, super boring.
Yeah.
But then also there's, like, a really uncomfortable power dynamic if you're a queen for a year.
Yeah.
That, like, I just don't agree with.
Yeah, totally. So neither. Is that you're like,
I'm sorry, Lucy.
You're like, I want to work in a democratic system. Choose my own things. Okay, well, there you go. I'm not very good at making would you rather.
If I had to pick, I guess I'd work in government. I was like, a cog in the machine.
Yes. Yeah, but I get what you mean. Like, what if you're like a real bad position in government? Then it's like, you're just stuck there. Yeah. Just like, nah, I'm like the official.
If you're like the parking tax authority.
Yeah.
And you're the person at the head of the department that like tows people cars.
Yeah. Go teams. Yeah. Best job ever. We're all like, went for the politics for that job. Hey? And then another question. If you could only have like one food on campus ever, like for the rest of your life, but it was just one, what would it be? Like deli sandwiches or like whatever. Right?
I'd say like a multi-grain bagel with plain cream.
Oh my God. All right.
Because
it's universal.
If it was one food, like that's something that you can like add things to.
Yeah, true. Mm-hmm.
As the one
just
food.
Too sneaky for my questions. Just dipping around them. Yeah. Maybe the thing is that I'm very like dependent on what's going on, right? But I would probably right now go for the loaf salad. I'm so obsessed with it, and it's always like there's a bunch of options, and like the kale Caesar is so good.
Their little pastry with the cherries on it.
Oh, just don't every even time. Haven't eaten breakfast yet, so I'll be straight. Like you'll see me in the loaf lineup if anyone's here at UBC. All right, and then last one. And this is sort of the way I wrote this question originally sounds a little like. Pointedly sort of negative, but it doesn't mean to be. I originally wrote, how do you find yourself uniquely qualified to take on this endeavor as AMS president? But I mean that to be a positive thing, not like, who do you think you are?
Who do you think you are?
But what do you think, like, what makes you, you know, we're all people, we share in that, obviously, but what makes you sort of, you know, uniquely qualified as a leader? What do you think kind of qualities that you bring to the table that you think maybe, not that other people wouldn't be able to do in other ways, but like what is your kind of way that you do that's very unique to you?
Totally.
Dun dun dun.
Dun dun dun. So I had an exit interview with our amazing art gallery commissioner from last year, earlier this week. And I kind of like, I asked her, I was like, straight up, like, tell me, you know, did we like not have enough team meetings or like, was there something that could have been done better, like organization wise? I very like personally feel like I'm more comfortable connecting with people and making people comfortable, and sort of if someone's having like a crisis or an issue or something, like bringing the calm and then letting like guiding them through working through their own things instead of being like all like, I'm gonna give you like advice that you should follow. Mm-hmm. So that's an arena where I'm very comfortable. But when it comes to being super structured and organized and like rigid in that sense, that's always something that I'm like working to improve. And so I think what makes me uniquely qualified is sort of that ability to connect with people and sort of bring them in and bring them together and kind of like resolve conflict, I guess. The knowledge about the AMS, like it just kind of happened to work out that I was VP admin for 2 years. And that definitely gave me some insight in terms of the scope and the capacity of what the AMS can grow to be. And I think that with 1 year terms, that's definitely something difficult to expect of student leaders. It's like you get 365 days to figure out how to do this position while dealing with crises and like 6 hour long council meetings, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So I definitely value that opportunity to have been around for 2 years and sort of get to know the nooks and crannies. Mm-hmm.
Invaluable amount of information there, right? Just like being in the pit and just doing everything too, right?
Yeah.
Well, thank you so much for coming on CITR this morning. I hope your experience was positive.
Super positive. Yeah. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, and I meant to mention this earlier. I forgot to mention, but Ava has also been our CITR representative on the, what would you call it, the Board of Governors?
Board of Directors.
And so it's really exciting from our perspective to see you in office and to see what you're doing, because it's, I think, as our as we were this little like dingy radio station in the back corner of the old sub. And now we get this beautiful new space that has been, you know, supported by the AMS and all this extra things. So it's really exciting that the more that we grow, that we also see like incredible support that the AMS and all of the rest of the central bodies have been doing for us. So it's really exciting to see everyone grow together. Yay. End on a cheesy note. Best way to end it. All right. So we're going to finish with Ava's last song that she chose. So from, we've gone Nina Simone, we've gone to a Chopin Prelude by Marta Argerich. And finally, tell us about this third tune that you've picked.
So this one, I went through a bit of a phase in high school where I was like the biggest fan ever of Lil Wayne. And so I got to know a couple of the words to a couple of the songs. And so this next one samples one of Nina Simone's original songs. And so when I sort of discovered the wonderful world of Nina Simone and heard the original of Misunderstood, it was like, whoa, worlds colliding. Yeah. Everything is connected. And so you'll hear some Nina Simone in this one, as well as some Lil Wayne.
All right. Thank you so much once again for coming on. This is Ava Nasiri and me, Lucy, on the Student Special Hour. And we're going to be changing our time a little bit from next week. So stay tuned on CITR.ca and what's going on there. This is Misunderstood with Lil Wayne. I mean, opposite. Lil Wayne with Misunderstood.
Baby, you understand me now. If sometimes you see that I'm mad, don't you know no one alive can always be an angel? When everything goes wrong, you see some bad. But I'm just a soul whose intentions are good. Oh Lord, please don't let me be misunderstood.
Misunderstood ain't gotta be explained, but you don't understand me, so let me explain. Stood in the heat, the flame, the snow, please slow down, hurricane. The wind blow, my dread swang, he had hair like wool, like rain. Dropping ashes in the Bible, I shake them out and they fall on the rifle. Scary, Hail Mary, no tail fairy, all real very extra. Ordinary parrot, Mason facing the barrel if he tattle. My God is my judge, no gown, no gavel. A hound, a rabble, down to battle. Now or never, oh whenever, in the effort. Fucking fantastic, fuck if you agree. I'm bright, but I don't give a fuck if you see me.
I'm just a soul whose intentions are
misunderstood ain't gotta be explained. So for those who understand, meet Dwayne. For 8.5 months I gave him a seat to pain. Now it's young money, baby, keep the change. And mama say fuck him, and we the same. So hello motherfucker, you got some sheets to change. And ain't it funny how people change like Easter Sunday? You know church fit and outfit. Bright pink and green chest look house lit. Bright pinky rings, but that ain't about this. What you about, bitch? Excuse my French emotion and my passion, but I wear my heart on my sleeve like it's the new fashion. What are you asking? If I don't have the answer, it's probably on the web like I'm a damn tarantula. But I know you don't understand, cause you thought Little Wayne was Weezy, but Weezy is Wayne.
I'm just a soul whose intentions.
I watched the TV the other day, right? Got this white guy on there talking about black guys. Talking about how young black guys are targeted. Targeted by who? America. You see, one in every 100 Americans are locked up. One in every 9 black Americans are locked up. And see, What the white guy was trying to stress was that the money that we spend on sending a motherfucker to jail, a young motherfucker to jail, would be less to send his or her young ass to college. See, and another thing the white guy was stressing was that our jails are populated with drug dealers. You know, crack cocaine. Yeah. Stuff like that. Meaning, due to the laws we have on crack cocaine and regular cocaine, the police are only, I don't want to say only right, but...